I mean, it's the end of the year. We're in the middle of just doing like a little short series called Battlefield, and you know, there's things that the Bible says about you. Matter of fact, there's thousands of things that the Bible says about you, and one of them actually has to do with this word named called Nike. And it's kind of funny. I mean, every business comes up with a name somehow, some way, you know. And the crazy thing is, I don't think the Nike owners, you know, cared about the Bible much, or if they studied it at all. But the word actually goes back thousands of years. It's kind of funny because the Bible was not written in English. You know, Jesus didn't preach from an English Bible, if that makes sense to anybody in his place. You know, it is actually written in Greek, in ancient Greek, and even further back was written in ancient Hebrew. Well, you know, the word Nike is actually in the Bible numerous times. It's kind of funny. If you guys have your Bibles, turn to Romans. You know, the last week we started talking about how God wants you to overcome in the battles of life. And in Romans 8, it kind of echoes that. You know, in 2 Corinthians 10, you don't got to turn there. The Bible tells us that, you know, we live in a battlefield. We're warring. We're fighting against the ways of thinking. And it's crazy because your own worst enemy is
you.
That's right. I am my own worst enemy. My brain just won't turn off when it needs to turn off. And sometimes in the morning, my brain won't turn on when it needs to turn on. If you've ever had a test in first period, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it just seems like sometimes the way you think in your brain and your heart can just play sick jokes on you all the time. Sometimes you can't even give yourself a break, you know? And that's where God comes in and says, look, I need you to change the way you think. I need your thoughts to become my thoughts. God says, I want your heart to be like my heart. Not me, but God. And God wants us to become Christ-like. God wants us to be like Jesus. And that's where Romans 8 comes in. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 37, there's this verse. Maybe you've heard of it before. But it says that you and I are called to be conquerors. It says, more than that, it says, in all of these things, we, you and I, are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Oh.
All of chapter 8 in the Bible, in Romans, is about this word confidence. It's what it's about. It's about confidence. And, you know, our senior pastor, if you've been around in this church any time, he says something all the time. He says, a person will only go as far as they're encouraged, right? They say, a person will only go as far as they're encouraged. That's why it's so important that you be a good friend and encourage your friends. Not call them like butt face or, you know, hey, stupid, or what's up, you know, barf mouth, or anything like that, you know, or even worse words that I'm not allowed to. That's why it's important that the words you speak, that's why God cares about the words that you say. It's because a person will only go as far as they're encouraged. I mean, you know what it's like when you have a bad day and that one person that you really respect says something nice about you, it just lifts you up. But you also know the opposite is when you're having a really good day and that one person says something bad to you, it just destroys the entire day. Just one word can destroy an entire day. I know this has happened to me. So in Romans 8th chapter, God wants to say a bunch of good words about you and me. And the whole thing is about confidence and assurance and understanding and being bold. And it's talking about our relationship with God and where he wants to take us. It starts off and it says, in Romans 8:1 it says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the ones who don't walk according to the flesh, but they walk according to the Spirit. God says right off the bat in this chapter, he says, look, you don't have to worry. I ain't mad at you, especially if you're doing whatever it takes to get close to me. We're on good terms. You don't have to wonder if God's talking behind your back. He's not. And then it wraps up and it says, at the end of chapter 8, Romans 8, it says, in all things, we're more than conquerors. It says, heaven or hell can't separate you from the love of God. It says no, there's no height, there's no depth, there's no width, no to the right or the left that will keep you from the love of God. An angel can't pull you from the love of God. A demon can't pull you from the love of God. It says there's no way, because God's love is bigger than all. It says you are more than a conqueror through it says you are more than a conqueror through the Christ who loves us. That's kind of cool. So this word conqueror, if you were to look at, you know, if you were to look at what the Bible, how it was originally written in Greek, that word means Nike. I mean, throughout the Bible, if you were to look at it, the word Nike is throughout there dozens of times, and it means victory. That's what the word means. The word Nike is Greek for victory. You are Nike. You're very Nike-ous. You were a Niker. Yeah, don't say that too fast. But you have no. Actually, you know what? Let me take that back. Let me take that back because you're not Nike. You're not. And I was jacked up. Pastor, you just said, no, you're not. You are not Nike. You have no Nike in you. There's no Nike around you. You cannot be Nike. Because the Bible actually says something different here. You know, let's say you have ice on your car. Your car is iced. Now, what would happen if you de-iced the car? You would remove the ice. You would de-ice the car, right? If you had lice, hey, look, it happens, okay? And you were de-loused, what would happen? You kill all the lice. Get that shampoo, rub it in, not like, you know, not that I've ever been there before, you know. If your dog has fleas, I don't know why we're on this bug trip, you defleed the dog, you would get rid of the fleas. The word D-E, the D-E, now I know we're not in school, but it changes the meaning of the word. You just add those two little letters at the beginning of it, right? Well, see, that's what happened to this word where it says you are more than conquerors. It's the word Nike. But the Apostle Paul, when God inspired him to write this little sentence here, he said, you know what? Nike ain't good enough a word. Victory ain't strong enough a word. He said, Nike just don't cut it. We got to change this word. We got to put a little more oomph in this word. We got to put a little more pep in the step because Nike just ain't fresh enough. Just do it. No, not enough. We got to put something on this word, a little spice. So he put the word hyper, which is also Greek. I know, you're learning Greek today, guys. Hyper Nike. Oh, all my ADD people in the house know what's up. When I say the word hyper, because your mama been yelling at you for years, you're so hyper. Stop it, slow down, calm down, no soda. Maybe your mom watered down your soda. No more bubbles in that Coke. Why? Because you're too hyper. Hyper, that's a Greek word. That means more. That means extra. That means too much. That means you're getting on my nerves. That's how much. That's how much Nike there is. That's a lot of Nike. Oh, that's a lot of Nike. I love it. In my studies, it said, one professor, one scholar said, so great is the victory that is secured by the loving work of Christ that the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:37, he found the word Nikeo, which is Nike. That's how you're supposed to say it, but whatever. Nikeo, too weak a word. Thus, he used the rarely used hyper Nikeo instead. He says, in every test, we win the supreme victory. We are more than conquerors. If I could drop the mic, I would, but I'm not done yet. Feel free to clap right there. Feel free to clap right there. All right. It means that you're more than a conqueror. You see, look. Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says, look, you're bigger than sin, you beat it. It says that you don't have to feel ashamed, you don't have to feel guilty, you don't have to hate yourself no more. Then it continues to go on and begin to talk about how God has destroyed the flesh inside of us. And he says in Romans 8, 17 through 20, he says, look, but more than that, you are a child of God. It says he loves you. God loves you like a father ought to love a child, that he wants to be close to you. Look, any good father wouldn't, look, if somebody was messing with my kid, I would roll up all over them. I don't care how big or small they are. If I had a three-year-old kid messing with my three-year-old kid, I'd be like, what's wrong with you, fool? You don't mess with my kids. You're God's kid. You don't mess with God's children. Then God begins to affirm how much he loves you. He says crazy things. And then he begins to flip the switch. Because he goes from how much you have victory, then he begins to say, in Romans 18, he says, now, look at the sufferings that Jesus did. You see, God guarantees me and you two things. He guarantees you, one, suffering. Yeah, not really jiving with that one, Pastor Richard. Sorry. And then he guarantees you victory. You can't really have one without the other, it seems like. God says that in this world, I'm going to provide you, I'm going to show you, I'm going to bring you through two things, suffering and victory. I mean, just be honest. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, right? Right? If God's told us to be more like Jesus, look, you know what happened to Jesus. That was kind of tough. And God's called us to walk in his footsteps. So when you find things difficult, hard, unbearable, when you find your heart broken, you find challenges, when you want to quit, when you want to punch somebody in the throat, when you want to poke somebody in the eye, when you just want to put the pillow on top of your brother's head, don't, stop it, don't do it. Don't even entertain the thought, because God has called you in the middle of suffering to have victory. See, I love it because the Bible says further on down, it says that you and I are a co-heir with Christ. What does that mean, Pastor Richard? I don't understand what you're talking about. No. Okay. Get this. If you're a co-heir with Christ, that means that you and Jesus, stand up, right? It means you and Jesus are walking together through every challenge you have. You see, you don't have to walk alone. Let's turn around. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Turn around. All right. It means that everywhere you go, he goes. And everywhere you go, he goes. And he goes. Now turn around. Because we're running out of room. Okay. They're going to take it right down here. Look. What happens is you are a co-heir. That means that Jesus is taking you wherever you're going, hand in hand. Okay. We got to turn around because we're running out of room here. Okay. You can come sit down now. Okay. Come on. You go sit down. Let's give a big round of applause for walking. Yeah. Co means partner. That means when you suffer, Jesus suffers. That means when Jesus has victory, which is all the time, you have victory. That means you're never alone. You're never going through this and nobody understands you. No, you have somebody right there next to you understanding you. But on the top of it, look, Jesus just doesn't lose. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the lily of the flower of Sharon. He's the morning star. He's the Alpha, but he is not a loser. There's the one title Jesus doesn't have, loser. Right? And if you're supposed to be like Jesus, that means that's the one title you don't have, loser. Right? I mean, even if Jesus comes in last place, he's still the first, because the first is the last first. Oh, next time you lose a game, try that one. Not going to work. Okay, so. But do you see, if you're a co-heir with Christ, that means that you are hyper Nike. You are more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror. It's not just enough to win. You smash it. Like the USA did. To Ghana. I'm not hating. I'm just saying. We'll see how it goes with Germany. Let's just say I'm not a betting man. Okay. It's World Cup. That's all World Cup. That's soccer. Okay, you don't know. Sorry. Okay, so. And then it continues on. It says, you're a co-heir. Then it says this, Romans 8:31. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? God is for us. Who can be against us? Look, God didn't even spare his own son. He gave you the best. So why would he not deliver you? If he's willing to give up everything, if God went all in, he just put all the chips on the table. Why would God fail you? Why would God fail you? Give me one reason. Because he doesn't like you? No, he gave you his son. Of course he likes you. Because you're not smart enough? Duh, none of us are smart enough. Because we're not God. That's why he sent his son. Because we're not strong enough? I know. That's why he sent his son. Why would God fail us? There's no reason. He's already done whatever it takes. So when you suffer, you have victory. And you have victory in your suffering. Because see, in all these things, what things? The hard things. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 38. I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, things present or things to come, height, depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of our God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is victory. A victory so secure that the only way to lose would be to put it on the ground and walk away from it. The only way to lose it would be to put it on the ground and to walk away from it. Dang. I'm not trying to sell shoes. I'm not, really. If you got Adidas on, you fresh too. All right, you got your Payless BOGOs? Hey, you tight. You tight, don't worry about it. That's right. Crocs? Maybe not. I don't know. Unless you're a doctor, don't do it. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Hey, they're starting to step up. I saw some of the new shoes. They're trying to step up their game. Good job. Good job. Good job, Crocs. Somebody's doing something right in those meetings. But that's how it all stands. Now, let me do this. Because, you know, Mark, in announcements, he had mentioned that this weekend is our 26th anniversary. That's pretty exciting. Every year, your church gives out anywhere between 5 to 7 million pounds of food. I mean, your church, this building here, gives out anywhere between 5 to 7 million pounds of food. Hundreds of thousands of people walk through these doors, and they get the food for the week. And every week they come. From the neighborhood, 50-plus churches come to your church to be able to get that. We have a team of, I think it's like 20 people in 2 weeks going to Africa to be able to spread the gospel, to help love on little kids and just spread the good news. South Africa, Zimbabwe. Wait, no, it's Lesotho. Swaziland. See, I don't even know. I'm not going, obviously, because I wouldn't even be able to find myself the way there. So, but we have some 20 people going there. I mean, look, here at your church, we are partnered with a team of Bible college students that reach like hundreds of thousands of people literally around the world. Where it's illegal to be Christians, they're there teaching people how to be pastors. Where it's illegal to be a Christian. These are the kind of just some of the few things your church does. 26 years of doing great things. And it all started with 12 people in a rented hotel room. It all started with two ladies in a white pickup truck with a bag of beans and rice knocking on doors asking if anybody's hungry. Man, just about a month and a half ago, one of our old interns, one of our old youth, you know, he restarted up our homeless ministry, and you know, he's literally finding people that are homeless. He's getting them jobs. I mean, men who had lost their families are getting their families back. Men who hadn't been employed in decades are getting jobs, getting cleaned up, getting off the street. Hey, that's pretty amazing, if you ask me. Now, I say all this because, you know, a year ago, our church, we made a decision that we're paying too much money for this building because it sucks. Not the building, the money. Every month, it's really dumb, we pay $80,000 just to be able to use this building. And that has nothing to do with electricity and water and, you know, all the times we flush the toilets and all that kind of stuff. It's just being able to have a building. So we started to raise funds to be able to pay this building off so we can take $80,000 and buy food so we can send people to places like Africa so we can do new things, get new buses, so we can begin to do greater things to reach more people in the Inland Empire because we love this place. That's what we're doing. And this will be the 1-year anniversary. And in 2 years, we want to be able to raise enough money to pay off this church so we can stop giving some guy in an office a paycheck. And we can take that $80,000 and put it to the streets. So if you guys call this place your church, then I want to ask you guys something. What can you do to do the impossible? That Nike thing we're talking about. Let's be victorious in the Inland Empire. If it's not your church, if you're visiting, nah, don't worry about it. You know, but if this is your church, what did God have you do? You know, last year we made a bunch of these cans, and this one's still full because we want to keep it. And people begin to fill up these cans with just spare change, and we brought hundreds of dollars in to be able to pay it off. We owe $10 million, I know, left. But in 1 year, we paid off two. That's a lot of cans people raised. God, that's a lot of sacrifice. You know, even Pastor Michelle and myself, we're doing our best to pay down our bills and our debt so we can give more and more so we can do this. Because you know what? I believe in it. And the question is this weekend, if you guys want to join us to pledge or to do anything like that, join in. See what God can have you to do. Sell your old video games. I don't know. I mean, start mowing lawns during the summer. Cut people's hair. Cut their dog's hair. Save your change, find pennies, crush cans, do whatever it takes. Because, you know, if you call this place home, then what do? I mean, I assume for your home, for your house, you have chores. You take care of your house. You help out however you can. Well, if this is our spiritual home, then what can we all do to put just a little bit together to do that? Whether it's 5, 10, 15 a month, whatever it is, a dollar, I don't know, whatever you got, whatever you can do, do that. You know, last year we were having people doing bake sales. They were painting pictures and selling them. They were doing things like that just so they can say, you know what, we're going to pay this church off so we can feed more people. So anyway, that's my piece about what I want to share with you guys. I mean, so far in 1 year, we've done $2 million. And in the years to come, people are jumping on board and doing great things. So I know I don't want to miss out on this. 3 years, we're going to pay this dumb mortgage off, the rent bill, if you will, so we can do more things, greater things to reach the empire and even the world. Sound like a plan, guys? All right. Let's give God a praise. Hey, we're going to talk about that this Sunday over in the main sanctuary in youth. And you guys don't got to bring anything next week unless you really want to. If you guys want to pray about it this week, see what God would have you to do, where he'd have you to go, and how he'd have you to be a part of what we can do. We call it freedom for our future because we want to be free so we can do more for people's future. So, yeah. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about it. So, hey, let's do this. Let's go wrap this bad boy up, and then afterwards we'll go ahead and we'll give away these shoes, and we'll, if we have any time, we'll do a little fashion show, because I still got $10 more of Jamba Juice I got to give away, right? I mean, what's up with that, right? What's up with that? Well, what? Huh? Yeah. No, I know. We got it. Pastor Luke's preaching next door. We're cool. All-nighter! Okay, just kidding. Don't worry, I'll let you guys go home. let's talk real quick, because in Romans, the 8th chapter, it talks about a lot of really exciting things. But one of the things that God talks about in Romans, the 8th chapter, it says there's a difference between people who are the children of God and those who aren't. Remember I was saying that we're the sons and daughters of God? Well, just because you're born doesn't mean you're a child of God. Pastor Richard, that's not what I know. That's not what you heard, but it's true. It's true. The Bible says that we're adopted in to his family. That means at one time we weren't. Now that's kind of a crazy thing to think. Now, of course, God loves you because Jesus died for everybody, right? Right? I mean, God loves you, so Jesus died to save us, right? That's what the Bible says. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But you see,